We're thinking this morning of the Lord, our praise. The Bible says, He is your praise, and He is your God. And the psalmist says, Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. And then the writer of Hebrews said, Through Him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips that give thanks to His name. The Lord, our praise. Everyone at some time or other has asked himself the question, Why am I here? What is my purpose? What is my goal in life? What am I designed to do? The late Senator Robert Kennedy was visiting Brazil and while there went into the interior. He was introduced by way of an interpreter to an Indian tribesman who had recently been converted to Christ. And Senator Kennedy asked the tribesman, What do you enjoy doing most in life? The answer was somewhat of a surprise to the senator as the Indian replied, Being occupied with God. And the senator thought that the tribesman didn't understand his question because he was expecting him to say fishing or hunting or playing tennis or skiing or something else. So he asked the question again, and the tribesman again replied, being occupied with God. Here was a man in the jungles of Brazil who had discovered that which so many walking in America in civilized countries today have not discovered, and that is the design of your life, is this. We are created to praise God. Being occupied with God. This morning, I'm going to do something a little different than what I normally do. The Apostle Paul used to, or does, divide his letters in the New Testament into two main sections. He has a doctrinal section and then a practical section. And I'm going to do something I have never done in my some 13, 14 years of pastoring. I'm going to preach. The first part of a sermon, which was originally designed to be one sermon, but when I figured it out, it would go for at least an hour. Now, I know you want to stay, but I want to go eat after we get through. So we're going to preach the first part of a sermon, The Lord Our Praise, and we're going to look at the doctrinal aspect of it. And tonight, we're going to consider the practical application or what it means in our own life experience to have a lifestyle of praise to God. Consider with me this morning that praising God is the central focus of the entire Bible. That praising God is the purpose of all the Psalms. And that praising God is the design of your life and my life. Firstly, consider that praising God is the central focus of the Bible. The pages of the Bible seem to rustle with this one major theme, and that is they are somehow bringing us to the point where we're able to say the hallelujah of praise to God for what He has done. Indeed, the Bible begins with praise to God, and it ends with praise to God. The Old Testament begins with the creation. And there is God pronouncing the creation very good. And it is as if the creation itself responds back to the Creator, "Thou art very good." When my children do something which is extraordinary and I want to praise them, then I say to them, "That's very good." I do not say, "I praise you," but I mean to say, "That's very good. I am praising you." And in the same way, by God pronouncing His creation very good, the goodness of the creation is offering its praise to the God who created it. The New Testament begins with praise to God as well. There is the new creation, Jesus Christ, just like the old creation in the Old Testament. Now the new creation in Christ and that creation which He intends to make out of you and me, His people. The entirety of that work, listen to how it is announced in Luke chapter 2. First, the angel says, "Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy." And then an angelic chorus breaks out and sings in Luke 2:13, "And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God." So the New Testament begins with praise to God. The Old Testament begins with praise to God. And no sooner has the announcement been made that Mary begins to sing that song which is called the Magnificat. And then Zacharias begins to sing his song which is called the Benedictus. And then old Simeon begins to sing his song which is called the Nunc Dimittis. So here at the opening of the pages of what God is going to do in salvation, it is heralded by praise to the God of creation and redemption. But the pages of the Bible also close with praise to God. Listen to the description of God's redeemed people. As they are now, you can almost hear their praises before the throne of God. In Revelation 19:1, "After these things I heard," that is, John says in his vision, "I heard as it were a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven saying, Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and power belong to our God." And he goes on, and in verse 3, he comes back to his theme and he says, "And a second time I heard them say, Hallelujah." I am a Presbyterian. Hallelujah. Praise God. The Bible opens with God's praises and it closes with God's praises. But now consider that praising God is also the central purpose of the Psalms. The Psalms bring this out. You see, some form of the phrase "praise" or "praise the Lord" occurs 169 times in the Psalms. There are 5 different Hebrew words to express praise to God. There are 5 different Greek words in the New Testament to express praise to God. The Bible is just full of this purpose, and that is, our lives are to be characterized by echoing the hallelujah of praise to God. The word in the Psalms is taken from the Hebrew word halal. And it's the same word which is translated hallelujah. The Yah at the end of it is an abbreviation of the Old Testament personal name of God, Yahweh. And the Hebrews took the word for praise, halal, and they took the word for Yah, Yahweh, and they put them together and they said, hallelujah, praise the Lord. It's an interesting thing that in the Psalms, that the word hallelujah often, most often occurs in its intensive form. And in its intensive form, it means to shout. One can appreciate Pentecostalism after one has studied the root meaning of the word hallelujah. But as John Wesley, the preacher, as well as hymn writer of the 18th century, said that our singing, for example, ought to be loud and our singing ought to be lustily. We ought not to sing as half dead and half asleep people, because we're singing to the praise of the God of creation and redemption, and our singing ought to be with force. Not that there's anything sanctified about loudness, but we ought to sing as loudly the praises of God as we sing the songs of Satan before we came to know Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah is sort of a Christian universal watchword. Two men were taking a boat trip, and they began to observe each other, the character of each, and they began to wonder if the other, perhaps, could be a Christian. And as the days went along on the boat and they kept taking note of one another, at one point they were lying in chairs on the deck, and one noticed that the other was reading his Bible. And the one said to the other, their first communication, hallelujah. And the other one looked over at him and he said, amen. The universal watchword for the Christian, hallelujah. The struggle of the Psalms, and that's what I'm saying, the struggle of the psalmist is to bring their own hearts once again to be able to say the hallelujah of praise to God. You see, the psalmist give us an insight into the struggle and the problems of life. It is like we are led into the darkness of the tunnel of despair. It is as if we are led into the jungle of adversity and of problems that all of us sooner or later will face. But the struggle of each psalm is to once again be able to say hallelujah, praise the Lord, anyway. Praise the Lord, anyway. That is the focus. But I want to say finally that praising God is the central design of the Christian life. You see, if praising God is the structure of the entire Bible, if praising God is the central purpose of the Psalms, then praising God is also the central design of your own personal life. I am afraid that there are many Christians who live below the grade in their Christian lives. They live below the grade of the praises of the Lord. And I think the reason is revealed in the Psalms. That is, we have a picture of those men who also are struggling with life. But when they begin to gain a victory over their problems in life, it is because they have begun once again to praise the Lord. Psalm 42, for example. Here is a psalm where the psalmist is struggling with a problem. He is in great despair and he says, my soul thirsts for God, for the living God. My tears have been my food night and day. He is in the pit of despair. And then in verse 5 he says, why are you in despair, O my soul? For I shall yet again praise Him. He reminds himself that God is his victory, that God is his praise. And he gains new strength as he begins to praise the Lord, as he begins to say hallelujah. For the God who is, for what he has done for me and in the world, for his control. Hallelujah. I'm often in a hurry in the ministry. Mr. Spirito Santo is in a hurry in the Christian ministry. Our time is often compressed between meetings. As we move and as I move from one meeting to another appointment, the pace is often demanding and draining both physically and emotionally. As we move from counseling a marital problem into the context of a funeral, into the context of the sheer madness of working with seventh and eighth graders. Now, it's a lot of fun, but then often have I reminded myself of that verse in Nehemiah, "The joy of the Lord shall be your strength." And as I find myself praising the Lord, my strength returns, as does Mr. Spirito Santo's. The psalmist reminds us that the reason we are so dissipated is because we do God's work and the will of the flesh instead of living on top of the praises of God and the joy of the Lord. It is as if we need to get the perspective of the song, "Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace." You see, the solution to living on top of or above the grade in the Christian life is revealed in the Psalms, and that is, we are not to be centered in upon ourselves and our agonies and our problems, but we are to be living on top of the praises of God, and that, friends, will carry you through. When we come to church, we are to be singing the praise of God. And when we worship God in the home, we are to be echoing His praise. And when we go to the hospital, indeed to the hospital, we are to echo the hallelujah. When we face death, it is still hallelujah. When we face seasons of joy, it is still hallelujah. God has given to us our lungs to breathe, our lives to live, and our tongues for this purpose, that we have been created to praise the God of heaven and of earth. But the greatest way that you can praise Him, the greatest way, is for you to acknowledge His Son, Jesus Christ, that He died for you. Friends, can you say with the Apostle Paul, "Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift"? Can you say it? Can you say, as the Indian tribesman, "What is my chief joy? Being occupied with the praises of God"? Let us pray.